very much. I'm blessed and honored to be here at the ESOM conference. Baron and Lisa are very, very precious friends to me and my wife and the Ministry of Christ for All Nations. And I'm actually on my way to Singapore. So I said I'm passing through LA anyway. And here I am. So praise the Lord. Amen. Memory lane is something very wonderful. We don't forget the wonderful things that the Lord has done. And He is good. I really enjoyed the worship here as well. The presence of the Lord is here. And we can drink from that fountain again and again and again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. What I have seen God do has marked my whole life. God wants to be known by what He does. That's why we need to study His Word. And we discover one thing, that He is faithful. First and foremost, He is faithful to Himself. It means He keeps His Word. He keeps faith with His people, but He keeps faithful and is faithful. And that is also my testimony. It is true, the first 10 years of this new millennium, we saw 55 million people complete a decision card for salvation and then were referred into the follow-up system. Because we do not just want a signature, we want to make sure that these people are all discipled and that they become strong in their faith and then also do what we are doing, shining the light for Jesus and spreading the gospel. 55 million people. I already said it today at the lunch table when we had fellowship together, Pastor Jim and his sons and so on. I told them a few years ago I was in Switzerland and I told about 2,000 pastors at a conference about the 55 million souls that got saved in Africa within 10 years. And at the end of the service, some Swiss pastors intercepted me. And they said to me, Brother Bonnke, that is Africa. This is Switzerland. As if I didn't know. I said to them, but you are contradicting scripture. They said, which scripture? I said, John 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world. Now you Swiss people have to tell me whether Switzerland is part of the world of John 3 verse 16. I said, if God can save 55 million in Africa in 10 years, He can save Switzerland one Saturday afternoon. What about the Inland Empire? Hallelujah! This is awesome! We serve a mighty God. We only keep records of the decisions made for Jesus in writing, these are provable records, provable records. We only started recording in the year 87. Till now. And since 87, we already have been able to see 73 million souls saved. Isn't that wonderful? This is our God. This is our God. I live in America. As a matter of fact, believe it or not, I've become an American. I didn't just pledge my allegiance, I switched my allegiance to the grand old flag. I love America. God began to speak to me 3 years ago about America. I was just focused on Africa. That's what I had heard God say. Africa shall be saved. Africa shall be saved. Africa, Africa. And then one day, there in Florida where I live, when I prayed, the Holy Spirit began to speak. And the Lord said, I didn't send you to America just for America to be an offering plate for Africa. I have sent you to America for America's sake. Amazing things happened. I could tell you many wonderful stories, but I'll tell you what I have done. I dug out the trumpets that brought down the walls of Jericho. I cleaned them up. I repaired them. And now I want to blow faith across America, from city to city, from state to state, and from coast to coast. America shall be saved. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You know, my origin is Germany, and my German friends, even my best friends, they say to me, Rainer, why do you shout so much when you preach? We are not deaf, you know. I told them this. I said, when I see how Satan torments people, when I see how Satan chains people with addictions and perversions beyond naming, when I see how he torments them, I cannot purr like a cat. I want to roar like a lion. Let America hear it. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I could tell you many wonderful things, but I don't want to keep you here till midnight. Can I just say something about a very special book, if I may, with your permission? You know, when I was a teenager, about just 15 or so, I studied the family tree of my family, the Bonnke family. We come from East Germany, actually. That's where my ancestors come from. And I discovered to my amazement that the Bonnke family was a godless family. And my father was a pastor. I said, Dad, how did God break into our family? And this is the story. In 1922, my grandfather was very, very sick. He had a disease the doctors couldn't diagnose. He was sensitive to touch. He screamed day and night. Pain, pain, pain. There was no hope. There was no help. There was no faith. There was nothing. Just tormented with pain. They didn't know Jesus. And then a miracle happened one day. In that forested area of East Germany, an American missionary got lost in the forest and came to our village. And as I think was customary with the early evangelists, when they came to a new place, the first question was, is there anybody sick here? And the people said, yes, here in the Bonnke house, you only need to listen. You hear that man scream. That man's name was Louis Graf. He walked into the house of my grandparents. He swept away all the cobwebs of their godlessness and preached the gospel. And then he said, the Holy Spirit has sent me for a demonstration of the power of God. He walked to the bed of my grandfather, where he was lying writhing in pain, gripped his hand, commanded him to stand up in Jesus' name, and that moment a jolt of power rocked my grandfather. He jumped out of bed totally healed. That was 18 years before I was born. But that day, that man entered the house of my grandparents. The Holy Spirit already threaded my needle. And I'm still sewing. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. I want to congratulate all missionaries and pastors and teachers and evangelists in Jesus' name. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, this is how my book starts. It's called Living a Life of Fire. It's my autobiography, but it's not a dry business here. I tell you, it starts off with this story I just told you. If you want a shot of faith in your arm, read this. It will knock you off your sofa. And amazing grace, we got the same book in Chinese. Isn't that amazing? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Wow, here is too much. I think I'd rather leave it and come to the point. But you can get it outside at the book table. It's all what God wants to do, what He has done, and what He wants to do. My heart is burning. My heart is burning for Jesus. Every time I take a microphone, I've said that so many times, I only have one burning in my spirit. I want hell empty and heaven full. Hell was not made for man. It was made for the devil and his angels, never for people. It was not made for people. So I don't swear when I say to hell with the devil and to heaven with the people. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to God. Well, let me still mention it before I start. I haven't started yet. I'm also on Facebook. How many of you follow me on Facebook? What? Oh, I'm blessed. And if you don't, start. Every day a message, short, very short, punchy message from the Word of God. I have over 3.5 million followers on my English Facebook and about 1 million on my Spanish and Portuguese. So you will be blessed. Amen. People ask me, what happened when the big masses came to hear the gospel? What brought it about? And I cannot say it was a technique or it was something special or what. All I can say is it's not that I'm a better preacher than others. I don't think that for 5 minutes. But I believe I was placed in such a way that God could use me. It's the placement. We don't need to flatter ourselves with all sorts of adjectives. You know, the Holy Spirit places us, and if we are faithful there and keep just chipping away, one day it just snapped. Something broke. And the floods just began to roll. At first I said, it's a wave of salvation. But it kept rising and rising and said, no, it's not a wave, it's a tide. It's a tide. And the tide is still rising. We have the same God here for America. We don't count our problems, we count our blessings. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let me quickly read here. I want to speak about Holy Spirit features. Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Wow. I believe that the human heart was created like a fireplace, a hearth. We were created for the fire of God. And for the power of God. And on the day of Pentecost, before the fire fell, God sent a wind. We read here a wind. A mighty rushing wind. I hear people today talk a lot about atmosphere. Some have told me they must have worship so that there is an atmosphere. Well, bless them. It's okay. But the Bible doesn't speak about atmosphere. As I told you, I come from Florida. And I've been in a couple of hurricanes. And one thing I can promise you, when a hurricane blows and you are out on the street, you have to hold on to dear life, because otherwise you will fly away like a leaf from a tree. And when a hurricane blows, nobody speaks about an atmosphere. There is no atmosphere. It's a mighty rushing wind. And I tell you why God sent the wind first. I think He sent the wind first to blow out all the ash and all the trash. And then the fire fell. Hallelujah. We need that power, don't we? We need that power in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Matthew 3:11, we read that John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you in water unto repentance. Let me read it to you. I indeed baptize you with the water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, some people say that this is the fire of judgment. But what that fire was, we read in Acts chapter 2. It's not destruction. It's not judgment. That fire is benign. It's a wonderful fire. It is the fire of the Holy Spirit. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. I will elaborate on that a little bit more just in a moment. But this is to me very, very important. God doesn't send His fire to burn us up. I don't want to be an ash heap for Jesus. Amen? Amen. Remember the bush of Moses. The bush burned but was not consumed. When we burn for Jesus, we will never have a burn out. We burn on, not burn out. Hallelujah. And here comes one after another. I'm sharing that with you because I believe the Holy Spirit is absolutely essential when it comes to winning the lost. And in every other way, in the church, the Holy Spirit is absolutely essential. I call the Holy Spirit the master evangelist, because only He convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Not the preacher. He is doing that. He is doing that. Hallelujah. Now let me read again. Here is a connection. I want to talk about this connection. and there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. And one sat upon each of them. It sat right here on them. On one on each. That's amazing. And then the tongue of fire on their heads connected with the tongue of flesh. And they began to speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. This is an amazing connection. It is the connection. It's that what we call anointing. When our fleshly tongue is connected with that Holy Spirit fire tongue, then people will repent and miracles will happen. And the Lord will be glorified. Nations will be saved. In Jesus' name. God is not with his back to the wall. He is not the charitable cause. He is well in control. He is sitting upon the throne of all thrones. That is our God. Amen. Connected. How oftentimes have I experienced that when I was preaching and I suddenly felt that connection, that connection, that connection. And the people told me afterwards, you said this and you said that and you said the other. I couldn't remember. Well, I know what I said, but I don't know what they heard. Because between me and the Holy and them is the Holy Spirit. You know, these are connections. I pray that everyone become hungry for the Holy Spirit. The less Holy Spirit we have, the more cake and coffee we need to keep the church going. I'm not against cake, and I'm not against coffee. I like both. All I'm saying is the Holy Spirit has no substitute. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We need him. Connection. The tongue of fire. It says here, tongue of fire sat on them. And then they began to speak. So there was a connection. Praise God. That does not mean that you should not study the Bible. You know? Some people said to me, I don't need a Bible school, I just go and preach. Well, but I would say stupidity is not an advantage. Go and learn as much as you can. But not at the expense of losing your fire. Do you hear me? We treasure the Holy Spirit above everything else. He is a person, the third person of the Trinity. Hallelujah. Now, I've been thinking, on the day of Pentecost, we read that the 120 were speaking in new tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Very interesting. I thought by myself, If I have been there and the 120 would have all prayed in Hebrew, I would have been extremely disappointed. I would have said, what a pity. The Holy Spirit has only come for the Jews. I happen to be German. I happen to be American. But that was not the case, thank God. When the Holy Spirit fell, they began to speak in the languages of the world. To me, it shows the ultimate interest, the ultimate proof of the Holy Spirit's ethnic interest. All languages, all tribes, all the world, all peoples, everywhere. And thank God, that's why we are here today. I pray that we receive that fire in our soul, and once it's there, you cannot sit just still and say, amen, Lord, hallelujah. If you try and sit on hot coals, you won't sit still. You won't sit still. The ethnic interest of the Holy Spirit. Praise be to God. I call Pentecost the incarnation of the Holy Spirit. No. He didn't come like Jesus. He wasn't born in Bethlehem. But when the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost, he wrapped himself into the bodies of the 120 people and announced his arrival through their throats. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah! The Holy Spirit hasn't come to sit in a beautiful house. We are his temples. He is with us. He goes with us. He works with us. He reveals Jesus through us. It's a perfect arrangement. We could never have thought it up. This is God's wonderful and mighty plan. It's a feature of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, it was different. The Holy Spirit came on Samson. But the problem was, he also jumped off again. On, off, on, off, on, off. He just came for certain times, certain periods, for certain things to do. On, off. That is Old Testament. In the New Testament, everything is different. The Comforter has come to abide. He has wrapped himself in our bodies and turned our bodies into his temple. A temple is a house of prayer. And the Holy Spirit keeps praying in every temple of his. That's why God's people are praying people. Yeah. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit jumped on Samson. I've read once or twice the word jump is actually used there. He jumped on and then he jumped off. He jumped. Oh, he wrapped himself in. I like that very much because that reminds me of a spacesuit. You know? Can a man live on the moon? The answer is yes and no. No, if he goes the way he is. Yes, if he has a space suit. Because a space suit is the replica of Earth's atmosphere. And if somebody is here who lives in the most godless family in America, when Jesus comes to him and the Holy Spirit comes to him, Holy Spirit wraps himself in that person. And when he goes home, he will never ever breathe the breath of hell. Breathe the wonderful, pure holiness from the throne of God. No matter where we go, the Holy Spirit is with us. And if he is somewhere not, he arrives when you arrive. Amen. He arrives when we arrive. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you enjoy it? Yeah. Now there are some people who say, I'm not worthy of the Holy Spirit. I'm not so holy. And that's why I don't deserve the Holy Spirit. Well, let me tell you this. If you deserve the Holy Spirit, you would no more need the Holy Spirit. I'm talking now to people who are washed in the blood of Jesus. Our weaknesses don't repel the Holy Spirit. Our weaknesses attract him. Isaiah says he gives power to the faint, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. So the power of the Holy Spirit is not just a supercharge for super saints. It is given to those who need the power. Amen. And that power is not given as a reward. You don't get the Holy Spirit at the end of a marathon. You get him at the beginning of the marathon so that you can run the marathon. Otherwise you can't, and I can't. But we will finish this race. And we will serve our Lord. And we will see America saved. I believe it with all of my heart. What I saw God do in Africa has given me faith for America. Actually, I have received incurable faith. And I don't want to be cured. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord will lift you. He is the lifter of your head. all depressions will go. That black cloud will disappear. His glory cloud will come. Now, here, today. In Jesus' name. Worthiness. I tell you one other thing. The Holy Spirit has come for the best of us and for the worst of us. For the strongest and for the weakest. At the beginning of your Christian life, He's available. He's ready. Amen. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Jesus said in Acts 1 verse 8. And the next chapter, He already fulfilled His promise and keeps on fulfilling that wonderful promise of His. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh yes, may I please say it. Maybe some of you don't like it. Can I tell it anyway? Yeah. I hear all that talk about double anointing. Double anointing. I want a double anointing. Oh, bless you. I read the book of Acts again and again and again. And you know what? I read nowhere that when they came down from the upper room, that any one of the 120 had two flames. God knew He couldn't give them two. A second one would kill them. It's too much. I was baptized into the Holy Spirit when I was a boy of 11 years of age. I'm now 74 years of age. I never needed a second anointing because the old one still does very, very, very well. Are you happy? I'm also happy. Oh yes, oh yes. I want a double anointing like Elisha from Elijah. I think that's a bit out of context there. You surely don't want that old piece of cloth. It must have been rotten by now. But I do agree with the Elijah anointing from Elisha, but our Elijah is Jesus. It's Jesus. That's New Testament. That's New Testament. The purpose-driven church is part of it. But the Holy Spirit-driven church is New Testament. New Testament. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, one other thing. You want another thing? Our church, my father was a pastor, and in that church we prayed for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Maybe once or twice a year, more or less, mostly less. And when that holy day had come, every drape was drawn, every door and window locked. They didn't want anybody to hear how we were praising the Lord in new tongues. Wow. I always wondered about that. And then they said, the Holy Spirit can only fall when we are in perfect unity. Because Acts 2 says they were all of one accord. Now, our problem was Sister Meyer. She was always gossiping. And always broke that one accord. So the Holy Spirit couldn't fall. Now, one day I discovered something that knocked me. It knocked me. It was John 14, verse 16. I read it to you. John 14, verse 16. That is where Jesus is speaking. And this is what he says. He says, 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, the Holy Spirit, that he, the Holy Spirit, may abide with you forever. Jesus didn't say, you will pray. He said, I will pray. And the Father always answers the prayer of his Son. And Jesus prayed for you that you may receive that Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he will abide with you forever and forever. And in case there is another forever, another forever. We have nothing to boast. One feather less for our hat. Jesus does it. It is Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, who sent the Holy Spirit who prayed for us. You're going to receive that powerful anointing that will abide with you forever. Forever and forevermore. And as you go into all the world, wherever God has sent you, and you will preach the gospel, the earth will begin to shake and quake. Won't be an earthquake, it will be a heaven quake on earth. Hallelujah. I saw in Nigeria, in Lagos, in one meeting I preached to 1,600,000 people. They said to me, can you see the end of the crowd? I was joking. I said, I can see the curvature of the earth. That is what God can do. The next day I got the count of the decision cards from that one meeting. 1,095,271. It shook me. It shook me. I suddenly realized that God can shrink time. I didn't have as many people saved in the 10 years before, and now in one meeting. If God can save 1,000,000 people in one service, how long would it take to save America? 1 year! Shout 1 year! We serve a mighty God! Hallelujah! I believe it with all of my heart. This is the God we serve. And I pray that you may receive that flame. If you haven't, if you already have it, you have got some explanations for what is happening to you. Say amen.
Amen.
Let me quickly leave the 99. And let me come to that one lost sheep. May I? I'm an evangelist. I don't want any soul. I don't want to see any soul lost. We have sung it already. So wonderful at the beginning. Jesus saves. It rings in my spirit. Jesus saves. There is no other Savior. There, you can look where you want. There is no other Savior. When a philosopher has got toothache, his philosophy will not help him. But the dentist will. And if a philosopher needs salvation, his philosophy will not help him, but a Savior. And there's only one Savior, and his name is Jesus. 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 You can go from religion to religion to religion to religion. I say that respectfully. But you will never find there anyone who died for the sins of the world at the cross of Calvary. Therefore, only Jesus saves. Because there is no other Savior. There's none around. There's nobody around. The gospel is the good news of salvation. The Bible uses the picture of the prison of sin. Jesus came to set the captives free. He didn't just come to make the prison cell more comfortable and durable. Just bringing a softer mattress and giving the prison cell a new coat of paint, pink. He didn't just come to bring a television set so that it could be bearable. Jesus had no interest to improve the prison. Jesus came to break that prison lock that holds you. He will break it here tonight, and you will be set free. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not reformation, is not renovation, is not decoration. It is liberation. Liberation. He has come to set the captives free. Free indeed. This is how he emphasizes it. And Jesus is here right now. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, he wants to come into your heart and life and save you now. Backslider, why can't you slide away from the devil for a change? Slide away from the devil and slide to Jesus. He will still receive you. He will receive you as his child. And it's urgent. It's urgent. Let me close with this. I met a young man. I said to him, "When are you going to get saved?" Oh, he was one of the smart ones. He said to me, "Look, in my country, life expectancy for men is 80 years. And I am 20. I've got 60 years to think about it." Wasn't that smart? Suddenly the Holy Spirit touched my heart. I will never forget that. I said, "Young man, your arithmetic is wrong." He said, "In what way?" I said, "You don't have 60 years. The border to eternity is never ahead of us. It always runs next to life. And it can be stepped over any time, by old or by young. But the step to Jesus is the kingdom of God is also one step away. And you will come into the kingdom of God right now and receive Jesus as your Savior with the peace of God, forgiveness of sins, and eternal life as the great price for you. A new life will begin." Another young man said to me, "Bonky, my life is like a scrambled egg. Can Jesus unscramble my life?" I said, "Of course he can, but he doesn't need to do so. He just gives you a new one." He calls you because he wants to give you a new life. Let's close our eyes in Jesus' name. Lord, I want to thank you that you are here. You are here. You have not been knocking at heart's door here tonight. I pray for those who need your salvation to receive it now. Because you are mighty to save. While all eyes are closed and we are in the holy presence of God, I'm asking, who is here tonight? You want Jesus to save you, forgive your sins, cleanse you from all your sins, and receive him as your Savior. Just raise your hand that I can see and pray for you. Come on, just raise your hand wherever you are. Let Jesus see your hand. Don't be shy. Let Jesus see your hand. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God, praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Shall we all stand, please? I like those who should have raised their hands and have raised their hands. Please come forward. We want to pray with you right now. Just come. Come while we sing. Just come.
Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live. You're the reason that I breathe. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live. You're the reason that
keep coming.
I breathe.
Keep coming.
Jesus, I am.
This day is your day of salvation.
In you, Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live. You're the reason that I breathe.
Come to Jesus.
Jesus, I believe.
We sing one more time. Just come in Jesus' name.
Jesus, I believe in you.
Even if you didn't raise your hand,
Jesus,
doesn't matter.
I
just come.
To you. You're the reason that I live. You're the reason that I breathe. Jesus, I believe.
God bless you all here in front. This is the most important decision in your whole life that you are making now, because it determines your eternal destiny. What a decision. It was the greatest day in my life when Jesus entered it, as he will enter your life today, and he will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit as well. What must we do to be saved? Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We call upon the name of the Lord Jesus in prayer, and that moment he will enter. I want everyone to repeat this prayer after me in support of those who pray it here in front. Pray with your whole heart. I mean, God doesn't so much watch your lips. He watches your heart. Involve your whole heart. Say, Dear Lord Jesus Christ, I have heard your word and come to you just as I am. I am a sinner. Forgive me my sins. You died for me on the cross. You shed your precious blood. And your precious blood will wash away all my sins. Just now, by faith, I receive my salvation. I believe with my heart what I speak with my mouth. Jesus Christ is my Savior. I belong to Jesus. And Jesus belongs to me. Amen. And amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Can you see that young man over there? He's the chief counselor. They just would like to give you a little piece of literature and a very beautiful Bible, if you haven't got one, and a short prayer just for a minute or two. So I'm asking you just to follow him, please. Just please be so kind to follow. Be so kind to follow.
Hey, you just heard that.